and welcome back to Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. You are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. And, of course, you can always listen to us by downloading the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store. But if you miss the show, or if you are in your car driving somewhere and you have to get out at 7 o'clock because you're on your way to dinner, you can still listen to the show even after it's finished airing. We always upload all our shows to our website, www.nagb.org.bs. You go to the Learn menu and scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can find the MP3 there, and you can share it with friends. You can share the link, so anyone who you want to listen to the show, you can send that to. And then, of course, while you're on our website, I always ask you to just go look around, see what we have at the National Art Gallery upcoming or ongoing. We always have 3 to 4 exhibitions. Very often people think if they've come to the National Art Gallery once, they've seen it and they don't have to come back again. We do 16 shows a year and we change over quite regularly. So there's always a lot going on. And the whole point of that is to make repeat visitorship for local audiences so that you can enjoy your National Art Gallery. It's not just there for tourists, it's for all of us. And because of that, we also have our Bahamian Free Sundays, which are not only for Bahamian nationals, but for anybody living in the Bahamas. We have Sundays are always free for everyone living here. So we really encourage you to come between noon and 5. And then on the 4th Sundays, we will always give free tours. Now, I found out that our free tours are getting so popular that we get busloads of people arriving. If you're coming with a large group, we would appreciate knowing that beforehand so we can put on a special tour guide for you. Because if we have groups of bigger than, say, 20 people, it gets a little difficult to handle. So we're really pleased that our 4 Sundays are becoming so popular. But please, if you're coming with your church group or your school group or your extended family and you're more than, say, you know, 6 or 7 people, just give us a heads up so we can make sure you get special treatment. We really look forward to seeing you. So we are going to go back to the regular programming. Part of our regular programming is our, we used to have monthly film screenings. Now we have a bi-monthly, so twice a month, every other week, more or less. And we are working now with Bahamian filmmaker Travolta Cooper to program our film screenings. And I've got Travolta in the studio with me tonight. We're talking a little bit about his bigger practice as a film director, as an actor. I found out he's a singer. You're going to be singing our national anthem at our next opening. We're always looking for a good singer, and I like having a man occasionally to change it up. But you're also you're programming our movie nights, and that's in a collaboration with you because you are relaunching your TV show, The Cinemas. So yes. Before we start talking about The Cinemas, I just want to say that the next movie is tomorrow night, Thursday night. It starts at 7 p.m. We are continuing with our horror theme. We started 2 weeks ago with Rosemary's Baby, and tomorrow night we're going to continue on that theme of Halloween and horror with the movie Get Out, which was a cult, not even a cult classic. I mean, it was huge everywhere in the world. And that is really a tale of, you know, the horror of white privilege, right? So it's, our movies are always free. The amphitheater seats 200 people, so come on out, buy some popcorn, bring your date, and enjoy movie night. But so that we're doing that as part of a collaboration with The Cinemas. So you've relaunched The Cinemas, Travolta. Tell us a little bit about what The Cinemas is, when that airs, and why you know, what was your impetus for doing that originally?
Originally, it was right after Black Moses, and I sat with Chris Mortimer, and he loved Black Moses. He thought it was incredible what was going on in the country with Bahamian filmmakers, and it sort of started as this partnership with Galleria, where I was going to try and bring more of a art house flair to Galleria. Mm-hmm. And then it just blossomed into a full show because it was really popular on cable, and they were like, you need to make this longer and get sponsors and so forth and so on. So, and then I thought to myself, oh, this kind of reminds me of Cahiers du Cinéma. This kind of reminds me of the 60s with the French cinema enthusiasts like Jean-Luc Godard, whom I love. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, maybe this is a path to creating an online TV platform for Bahamian and Caribbean filmmakers. Mm-hmm. Which is what it became, because then it went on to get, it was picked up by Tempo in New York. So it became not just a Bahamian show, but a Caribbean show.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot at the time. I was doing too much, and it was a lot on my shoulders. So I thought I need to take a break from this so I can focus on what I actually do, which is filmmaking, mm-hmm. and not just talking about filmmaking or bringing a spotlight to filmmaking. Mm-hmm.
But why is it so important to you to bring a spotlight to filmmaking?
Important to bring a spotlight to Caribbean filmmaking.
Yeah.
It's important to a few of us. I think a few of us have sort of... It's become this thing where iron is sharpened iron because mm-hmm. I know Holly once mentioned Jason Miami, who I knew, who I met at Sundance, mm-hmm. who's just as passionate about a Caribbean film. Then there's Romola Lucas in New York, who's just as passionate about a Caribbean film.
Mm-hmm.
The cinemas took me on this journey where I realized that it wasn't just me, it was a few of us. And it just added more fuel to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Giving ourselves a space in the discourse of film, you know. That fire was fueled even more when I went to Cannes. And Cannes was just like the Olympics for cinema. And you go to the Village International, and you... You know, there's no Bahamian space there, for one. Two, and I think the three times I went to Cannes, of the three times, I know Trinidad is usually present, but Trinidad is only present because
they're
film commission.
But do they have, like, pavilions there, like they do?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I didn't even realize that. It's like the Biennale in Venice, but right. I didn't realize that they had, like, actual pavilions for different countries. I just
correct.
Thought all the countries kind of went and they showed and...
So for miles and miles, you'll okay. see there's a pavilion where there's tents, and these tents have their flag, their national flag, on top of the various venues. And there's the five times I've been to Cannes, there's never been a Bahamian flag or a Jamaican flag.
Wow,
the Dominican
amazing.
Republic is normally there because the Dominican Republic is doing really good in regards to film. And their local film industry is doing pretty good. Trinidad is making strides, as we know. But the more you travel the world, the more you begin to see this, the more you begin to compare and contrast our own country, our own region,
mm-hmm.
The greater you hope your voice, and the louder you hope your voice gets to say, we are here. We want to be seen.
And have you
we
had
have
any...
Have you,
absolutely. I mean, I think one of the problems with the region is when you try to kind of then, like you said, you've never seen a Jamaican flag or a Bahamian flag. And mm-hmm. so, of course, you know, I immediately thought, yeah, why don't you, like, get together, because we've tried
correct.
Doing this in the art world too, like, why
right.
don't we go to the Venice Biennale and just have a Caribbean pavilion?
Correct.
But it's really hard getting other countries.
Oh,
everybody
my
wants
Lord.
Their flag, right?
Yes.
But then you end up with no flag.
That's
because
exactly right. I have to say those
have
the
you
Dominican
had tried
Republic,
to do that? Have you tried to kind of form partnerships to
indirectly I've been really careful about going down the film festival route, because I mean people have been trying to draw me there, but my issue is getting so consumed in the work of promoting film that I stop making films. It's important to me to make... I'm a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for me not to lose that.
Because,
you know, before you know it... I mean, this was Sidney Poitier's advice. He was like, you know, before you know it, 8 months of the year is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're so consumed promoting, or you're so consumed... talking about it that you're not doing it.
Right.
And I found that to be true. I lost a lot of time,
mm-hmm.
Unnecessary time, that I had to sort of gain back.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of regain my focus,
mm-hmm.
you know.
How did you do that?
I stopped the cinemas.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped the cinemas for a minute. I went, I got the Miles Monroe gig, the,
mm-hmm.
the documentary that had me traveling around the world. The world broadened my focus. It broadened my perspective. I
mm-hmm.
came back refreshed. I came back refueled. And the one thing I realized with the cinemas was that I was the version of the cinemas before was that I was really trying to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a hunger and such a idleness with filmmakers and actors here. And I was trying to employ my friends, you know, as actors,
yeah,
and employ
yeah.
my friends as film critics and
yeah,
film
yeah.
and film commentary. And I was just trying to juggle all this and give everybody something to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too much.
Yeah.
So I can't do it alone. I would have needed a community, essentially, to invest in us.
Yeah. So now you're doing it again.
Yes.
So what led to that? If you needed a break so badly.
Right.
How have you reformatted it in such a way that it's not going to do what it did last time?
It's smaller. It's the cinemas with Travolta Cooper. It's four segments. I've done many interviews with famous and not so famous people over the last 2 years, interviews that are going to be seen in the show. So that's work that's already done, for one. So I even though I stopped doing the show, I never stopped really doing the work. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. You saw the Spike Lee video. Mm-hmm, the work went on. I just did it in smaller bits.
Yeah.
As opposed to twice a month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I just had a vision to make it smaller and make it more impactful. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's timing. I came home, I saw what you guys were doing at NAGB, mm-hmm. and it goes back to what I was saying about one person can't do it. It has to be a collective.
Yeah.
If that venue at NAGB existed at the time we did it the first time, you know, it might have been a different outcome. Mm-hmm. But it's one hand holding the other. You can't do it alone. You know, it's me helping you, you helping me, then we're helping the other person, and so forth and so on.
Yeah. So, Travolta speaking to our the Fiona's Theatre, the amphitheatre, which we have now at the National Art Gallery, which opened in April. And so that's now the site of our film program. And we also, when you came home, we met about trying to kind of expand the film program, because I think a lot of people, over the summer, we stopped doing it because we were traveling, and it's hard, it's burdensome for us because someone's got to stay late, a couple of people have to stay late, and we're already working all day from 9 to 5, and then we got to stay till 10. And so I was like, okay, how do we make this work? And so you and I sat down and said, okay, you know, let's get you to program it, let's get you to host it. And so this is going to be the second movie tomorrow night, which is Get Out, which I'm sure many listeners know was a huge success, you know, not only in the United States, but all over the world. Did it win awards? It won awards.
It did.
How many awards did it win? Jordan Peele, right?
Yeah, Jordan Peele won Best Original Screenplay. He didn't win Director.
And it was so surprising because so many people know him from Key and Peele, and they think he's a comedian. And then
no
one was ready for that movie. No. I think the shock value of it was quite a lot, too. You know, in the beginning, you think, oh, this is a nice movie, and it just becomes more and more horrifying.
I saw it in London first, and I remember it hadn't come to London yet, but mm-hmm. I remember it was creating such an uproar in this part of the world. Mm-hmm. And then I went to YouTube, and the first video that came up was Get Out and the Technology of Black Bodies. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's the most intellectual thing I've seen all year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thus far, you know, like it just didn't, I didn't, it didn't make sense. Like, this came from Jordan Peele is creating this discourse. Like, what is this movie?
Yeah.
And then I saw it. Yeah, and I was, to this day, I'm just blown away by how it managed to be an allegory,
mm-hmm.
a drama, a horror, a satire, all these genres that he just masterfully juggles.
Kind of
he's
rolled into one.
He's just playing the audience, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Were you expecting it to go the route it went?
Not at all. I mean, this was, what's the name of the company again? Blumhouse, right? Like, Blumhouse at the Oscars. Nobody foresaw that. Like, this is the company that does these Purge movies and these, mm-hmm. like, sort of horror, gory stuff. And then they do Get Out, and it's, and it takes us back to the origins of horror, which was cerebral horror. Horror was intelligent mm-hmm. when it started. It was Rosemary's Baby. It was The Exorcist. It mm-hmm. wasn't all this gory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Blumhouse somehow realized that and took
which
us back.
Which I find much more scary. Psychological
it's far,
horror.
It's far scarier.
Yeah.
The mind is the scariest thing.
Exactly.
In the world.
The human mind is the scariest place to go. So for anyone who wants to join us in the horror of the human mind, come out tomorrow night to the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. The movies are always free. So you can come have a nice date night. Our store is open, so we have popcorn and drinks for you to buy. And then normally we try to have a discussion afterwards about the movie. So come out and do that. If any of you saw Rosemary's Baby, I think Travolta's aiming to also kind of make a connection between the two about sort of the lack of agency over one's own body, whether you are a woman or a person of color. So that should be a kind of interesting conversation. So please come to that tomorrow night, the NAGB at 7 p.m., hosted by Travolta Cooper. We're going to be back after this break with Travolta to speak more about other upcoming projects. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.